PFT Media.
Bonus episode just of Cinema Crest Buddy. So I'm your host, Chris Crest. We're chilling at Crest Buddy's studio. What's your cigar, Brent Drew?
Chris! What's it, dude? How goes it?
I'm not gonna pick the whole thing. It goes.
It does, unfortunately.
It does. It doesn't stop going.
No. I mean,
we don't have a chance for it to really stop. I mean,
you can make it stop.
Personally speaking. But otherwise, it's gonna.
Whether
I stop or not, it'll go on regardless.
Correct.
That's the beauty and terror of it all. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Cinema Crest Bonito. This is the way we start every episode. Existential crisis.
On a weekly basis.
Is it a midlife crisis if you are surprised you make it to the age of 70? Alright guys, pre-story, our original story. This is just something I want to throw out there, kind of get off my chest. First off, welcome to the show, Joseph Cogerman. Did we do this right? I don't remember hitting that button.
No, you hit the 18 button instead.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So Bill Cosby went to prison today. He is now prisoner number NN34 something or other. They already have his number. They put it out there. He's in a brand new facility in Pennsylvania that they just opened in June. So he's in a state-of-the-art facility in a single cell. And sentenced to 3 years, I think. Minimum three to ten.
Yeah, so it was 3 to 10.
So 3 years. So. He'll get on three.
Yeah.
Unless he, like, shanks someone.
I was about to say, like, unless he becomes, like, a really crotchety old man.
He is a crotchety
around.
Old man. He's going to stay to himself, though, most likely. And he'll be protected in there. No one's going to want to fuck with Bill Cosby.
No.
Even with what he did, no one will want to fuck with him.
No.
So, there's this thing going around that's kind of annoying where, you know, me, Drew, I am the first person to yell racism.
Game over.
Right? I'm all about the...
Okay, yes.
Don't worry about the drops. the drops are
random.
Random. They have nothing to do with what I'm actually saying. Okay. If they ever match up, it's pure X. I'm the first one to scream about racism. I love talking about racism. I think people don't talk about it enough. People don't confront it enough. People pretend it's not there or just not aware that it's not there. On the flip side, though, I get annoyed when people want to call racism on something and be like, whoa, listen here. Hold on a second. So there's a thing going around. Someone drew up a political cartoon, you know, that type of cartoon where on the left side of the cartoon, just a whole bunch of names in the air, Harvey Weinstein, Kevin Spacey, all these names from the Me Too movement from the last year or so. And then on the left is a silhouette of a lynched man with a crowd underneath. And then it's like Bill Cosby, saying like, look at all these sexual offenders out here not going to prison. And then here's Bill Cosby in prison. It's racism. That's why the black man is in prison and all these white men are not. Drew, would you like to point out the reason why this is absurd?
I mean, it's...
I'll give you a very quick reason. Quick reason.
Go,
this is a short episode.
Go.
Bill Cosby, the first accuser, especially with this particular, the one assault case that he's been hit for, all this shit started 3 years ago. Harvey Weinstein and all this stuff last October.
I was about to say, within the last year.
Come at me in 3 years with the same list of white people and then ask me if it's still, or tell me it's still racism. When Weinstein's going to prison.
Oh, no, he's going down.
Oh my God, he's going to prison. He has more than one open assault case. Cosby went down for one single case. It took two trials, 3 years. How many, 60-something accusers?
Oh, good Lord, yeah. And they just keep coming out the woodwork.
It sucks that he's a monster, but he's a monster. And if you don't think he has a dark side, ask Carl Verna about the time he met Bill Cosby in a bathroom on the set of SNL in the 90s. Just ask him about the kind of person Bill Cosby presented himself as. It's not Huxtable. It's not Cliff Huxtable.
He did an entire comedy set about Spanish Fly back in the day.
In the 60s.
Yeah. So. Yes. I mean, we'll just extrapolate from there.
So listen, he's a gross old man. He got what was coming to him.
And he was a gross young man, too.
Yes, apparently he's a gross man the whole time, which sucks.
No.
Because everyone likes doing the Cosby voice, man. Jails! It's so
and
much
the
fun.
Jello!
Sadly, wait! Anyway, so here we go. I'm just going to go through these stories now in order as I collected them from last week. So the order, Drew, will be whiplash-inducing. You ready?
Go.
First off, I clicked this article like late last week. X-Men Dark Phoenix trailer has been screened, but when will we see it? The new trailer for X-Men Dark Phoenix. By the time most people hear this, Drew, it's out. It's coming out tonight.
I hope. I was hoping they would have kind of like forgotten about it.
It's no, too much money. They did reshoots. It's happening, Drewster. Today they put out on Twitter a moving poster, a moving image of Sophie Turner as Jean Grey with like a spacey, outer spacey backdrop. They're really pushing like, hey, outer space guys, it's happening. And now they're really feel free to do so thanks to Guardians of the Galaxy and Avengers and Thanos and all the outer space stuff in these movies, right? Now they're like, yeah, we're in outer space too now. We can do it, right? So that trailer's coming out tonight. This movie, I'm very interested in seeing what they do with the Skrulls, Drew. Because that's the important part of the whole Dark Phoenix thing in outer space. Mm-hmm. And now that Disney owns everything and it's all under the same umbrella, they have these shape-shifting aliens and X-Men coming out in February 2019. And then in March 2019, we have shape-shifting aliens and Captain Marvel.
Yes, Kree. Well, there is an entire intergalactic war going on called the Kree versus Skrull War.
So are we then allowed to now reference one or the other? How is that going to interact with what's going on here? Or are they going to find a way to make it all connect? Are they going to take the Simon Kinberg X-Men? Because he's the producer of everything.
Yeah.
Are they going to bring in Kinberg and then have him him into Feige's Marvel? Or
I mean,
is this,
what
this
they
it? It's getting the axe? What do you think?
They should...
Well, what should they do?
They should just kind of retcon mm-hmm. these X-Men the way they did the last ones.
Why not? Why not, right?
And just... I mean, there are already so many alternate universes.
They already
did
one
was,
retcon with Days of Future
there Penance. There was an entire... Somehow the original X-Men team got brought into the current Marvel universe.
Mm-hmm.
Because Jean Grey... has been dead in the current Marvel universe for a while.
You're talking comic book wise.
Comic book wise. Okay. But now she's back, but it's Jean Grey from universe 2322 or whatever the fuck number, blah, blah, blah.
Sure,
bullshit.
Sure, yeah.
So,
yeah.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, because you gotta remember, before Marvel got this whole thing, they were, in all reality, like trying to just like, wipe out the X-Men, period, from like,
yes.
the whole comic franchise
and
everything.
And the Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
Because, they're pushing Inhumans.
Because they didn't have the rights anymore. So.
For the movies, and since those were the big drivers of everything, they're like, why are we going to continue creating storylines for something that Fox and...
Could just take from us.
But is it just Fox? Yeah, it's only Fox that we're talking about. Yes. But now it's all back.
So yeah, so see a renewed interest in those comic titles again.
And as a matter of fact, we reported this on this on the show before, but while the negotiations were first happening, it became public that this deal was going to happen months ago. Lo and behold, Marvel Press has started. Let's start writing Fantastic Four again.
Yeah, exactly.
Let's start doing it again. Yep. So they saw the writing on the wall. Whoa, how did I open a Nest app? This phone is crazy. Oh, it's a store. I hit a fucking...
You opened a store.
Open it. Goddamn ad. All right. So anyway, well, they're gonna do.
We'll see.
No, I don't want to rate your app. Not now. Click now. Here we go.
I mean, mm-hmm. I really hope that the MCU and what they've been doing, you know, I hope it leeches on to the X-Men franchise because that, it's been so lacking in the entire X series from Fox.
It has. I feel like if
since
anyone can make a solid Fantastic Four, it's got to be the folks over at Marvel. They've been taking stuff that I don't care about and making good movies. So.
Exactly.
And especially when, as a matter of fact, when for Phase 1 and Phase 2, they had a creative committee that they had to everyone had to report to for everything.
Yeah.
And they had to run all their decisions through this creative committee. And that's where movies like Thor Dark World and Incredible Hulk, the lesser Marvel movies. Iron Man 2, mm-hmm. the lesser Marvels were made during this period. Phase 3 comes, the creative committee gets the boot. Kevin Feige, you're in charge. That's when you get your Guardians of the Galaxies, your Ant-Men, your all the good stuff.
All the good stuff,
all
yeah.
All the good stuff. Your Thor Ragnaroks.
Mm.
Black Panthers. Speaking of Black Panther.
It's on Netflix.
It is on Netflix. I rewatched like the first 20 or so, like one night before bed. I was like, that's cool. Sorry, do my shoulders. Yeah, it's so much fun. Come on. Get a good shoulder workout going while I'm watching this movie. Speaking of Black Panther, Michael B. Jordan is going to be in a Creed coming out soon. They're really ramping up the marketing for that now. Coming out in November.
Second trailer just came out.
It just came out. People are very... they got him running in the desert. Running and boxing in the... Like, man, he really is running out of... Yes, Creed 3, he'll be in the snow.
They're running out of places for people to train. Yes.
In the Rocky series specifically.
I guess we do it in the desert this time.
Like, we're really tired of running the... I mean, like, it's like a beach. It's like a beach, but there's no water. You know, it's like Apollo's the water, but he's not here now, so it's a desert. That was actual audio we got from the set of Creed 2. Sylvester Stone explaining their desert choice. Michael B. Jordan, very busy man. Rumored to be possible. I think we mentioned this, or I mentioned this on a bonus episode, that Superman, they're looking at possible new Superman to replace Henry Cavill. And Michael B. Jordan is floated as, like, not even necessarily him, but like a Mark B. Jordan type. You know, they're looking for
that.
And exactly. Well, he's fantastic, right? Chronicle. Sure. Mm-hmm. First time I saw him was Chronicle. Apparently, he was on The Wire before that and other stuff. Friday Night Lights, which also I didn't see. Yeah. But when I saw him in Chronicle, I was like, who is this?
Who is this guy?
Who's this extremely charming guy with all of the it in the world? It's very annoying, this fellow. And who's this other guy? Was that also? No, something else was. He was in a movie with Miles Teller. Oh, and Zac Efron. That one. Yeah. That chick movie from Bros. One.
Yeah.
Never saw that. It wasn't well reviewed. Michael B. Jordan looking to add to his list of things to do. While John Krasinski is playing Jack Ryan for Amazon, they're looking to make movies based on another character in that same universe. And it's another very boring name, John Clark.
The Tom Clancy-verse.
Tom Clancy's John Clark-verse, or whatever. The Jack Ryan-verse. John Clark is actually, you will recognize this name from video games. He was written into 1998's Rainbow Six.
Didn't play.
I'm just saying you recognize the title, though. That's one of the many Tom Clancy titles that got turned into a video game.
Yeah.
You know, they're keeping that in mind as they're greenlighting certain things. So Michael B. Jordan will be entering into this this universe of films that's all about showing how awesome the CIA is and how the world would be in chaos without them, especially America, how we'd be in chaos without them. Mm-hmm. Don't forget that, people. These movies are made with the cooperation of the CIA. That matters. All that being said, Michael B. Jordan, get your money! Stupid. James Bond. New director. Cary Fukunaga. Guy who did True Detective Season 1.
Yeah.
He's a good director. Also, he does that limited series on Netflix that just came out. Maniac. Jonah Hill and Emma Stone.
I saw that, and I'm like, what in God's fucking name is this?
Some crazy, like, near future alt universe where these people go for an experimental drug therapy, but for completely different things.
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to see.
It looks fun. Mm-hmm. No.
Cary Fukunaga, that guy.
Because Jonah Hill's got that neck gizzard thing going.
Yeah, it's like he got old man neck early.
Yeah.
That's what happens when you lose all that weight. When can you lose it? It sucks, Joe, being fat. I know, your body just wants to hold on to that weight. You gotta embrace it. As long as you're metabolically healthy, it's fine. But then your body can carry the weight. It's like, got all them Samoans out there.
Oh, shit. They're fucking huge.
They're fucking huge, but then they're like running 440s. Well, no, and then you take their blood pressure, and like, this man's practically dead. He has... Your blood pressure is so low. How do you do this? Cary Fukunaga signed on to do James Bond, which is great. The problem, though, is that the reason Danny Boyle left is, first off, the script he turned in, the producers didn't like. Duh, that was gonna happen.
Really?
Right.
I mean, when they said Danny Boyle in 007, I was like, they do know what they're getting themselves in. Like,
this is going to be bonkers.
They know what's going to happen with this movie, right?
Yes. I mean, and then they get the script and like, oh, you turn into Danny Boyle movies. Like, yeah, right.
Yeah.
I'm Danny Boyle. This is brilliant. They're like, no. We do not. We want a James Bond movie. Like, oh, no. Oh, apparently another problem. Daniel Craig has a final say on casting. Mm-hmm. And he has chosen already the actor who's going to play the villain. No matter what the script is, they have their actor. They have their villain. They have their dude. That was a big problem with Danny Boyle. Not a big fan of this guy, apparently. He wanted to do his own thing, so that's another reason why he ended up leaving. And when he left, his writer left, which means the Eon Productions, the people who've been making these movies since the 60s, they brought in their now workhorse writers, Neil Purvis and something Wade, Purvis and Wade, that's how they're known. Purvis and Wade, writing team. Okay. Best known probably now at this point for writing James Bond movies. They wrote good ones. Casino Royale.
Yeah.
They wrote Skyfall.
Ooh, Skyfall's good.
But they also wrote The World Is Not Enough and Die Another Day, which are the last two Brosnans. World Is Not Enough featured.
Which were not even slightly good.
Yeah, and then they also wrote Quantum of Solace, which is terrible. And
not terrible, but definitely not good.
And then I would call it, I would lean, when it comes to Bond, on the Bond scale, how about on the Bond scale, I'll put it more towards terrible, like Moonraker terrible, whereas the other one that they wrote, Spectre, I'll put on the not good list.
Yeah,
it's like, I could still watch
good.
It, but good.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of dumb, but which Bond movies aren't? It's
the movies it's that, Bond.
Yeah, exactly. I expect the dumbness, you know. Skyfall is the exception to the rule, and even then it ended with a Home Alone sequence.
Of course.
Just because everyone dies at the end doesn't mean it's like a mea culpa for the ridiculous 15 minutes that came before. We're stepping on nails and paint cans, swinging him in the head. And I'm pretty sure one of them grabbed a hot doorknob at one point. And then held his hand, and then put it in the snow. So anyway, good director, Cary Fukunaga. Questionable writers. We'll see. We'll see if the next Bond movie is going to be any good. The last one for Daniel Craig for sure, though. Bob Iger did a great interview, a very interesting interview with The Hollywood Reporter. I think it was The Hollywood Reporter. And I posted it actually into our Facebook group. People should go back and check it out and read it because there's a lot of gems in there. One of the things that I thought was... Well, actually, the one thing that was most reported is that he admitted maybe they did too much Star Wars too fast.
I mean, yeah. Maybe. No, they did.
Yep. He says, as I look back, I think I made the mistake. I take the blame. Was a little too much too fast. You can expect some slowdown, but that doesn't mean we're not going to make films. JJ is busy making 9. We have creative entities who are developing sagas of their own, like the Game of Thrones guys are doing the streaming service stuff. Mm-hmm. Right? I think Jon Favreau is doing something as well. And we are just at the point where we're going to start making decisions about what comes next after JJ's, but I think we're going to be a little more careful about volume and timing, and the buck stops here on that. So in this interview, it's all about like taking blame for certain things. The thing I found interesting then is they ask him about the James Gunn firing and the Roseanne firing for ABC. Mm-hmm. Exact same question. Roseanne, James Gunn, comment, go. He says, with Roseanne, we were all in agreement at the same time. It was just like a quick mutual thing. The executives came to me, we talked about it, we all agreed this had to be the decision, Roseanne has to go. With James Gunn, he says executives came to him with this and said this is a problem, and he said in the interview, I stand by their decision. So he, in this interview, was taking blame for some big things. When it comes to James Gunn, he was like,
you know what?
Other people did it, so I stand behind them. Because that's my job, to stand behind my executives.
Yeah.
And then when they're like, would you make a different decision today? Or would you do something different? He was just like, I stand by my executives. Yeah. So I don't think he is all for it. But
that was probably more of a business decision than a, like, a right-wrong decision.
Like sometimes you got to cut bait.
Yeah.
All right, here we go. Speaking of Disney... They are going to do, with the streaming service, Disney Play, they're doing Marvel limited series shows.
Which they should do.
And these series shows, it's going to be genius. It's like, it's going to take that Marvel Netflix stuff and blow it out of the water. Mm-hmm. Because the movies that people have been wanting that are kind of not really feasible to do financially or even timeline-wise, they can do them as limited series.
Yeah.
So get ready, you're ready for... Tom Hiddleston as Loki in a Loki series, and Scarlett Johansson as Black Widow in a Black Widow series. Mm-hmm. So instead of them getting their own movies, they're getting even longer, like 2, 3, 4, 6 hours worth of stuff on this Disney Play channel. That's pretty smart.
Cool. I'm down. I think it's a smart move. They can open up the universe for, you know, other people to dabble in it. Maybe we can get some really cool original stuff out of it.
Why not, right? Especially, I feel like they'll have lower budgets, relatively speaking, so they'll feel more liable to
tuck around.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, hopefully.
Come on, let's get a rated R Punisher series where, like, fucking Frank Castle just, like, murders the fuck out of people.
We got that on Netflix. He's murdering people.
Yeah, but it's not...
I've only seen... I mean, he sledgehammered a guy in the face on the pilot in the first
episode. I'm cool. And, you know, some of the fight scenes are great, but it's still...
I've only seen, like, the first
It's still very accessible, Chris.
Oh, sure. You want a like splatterpunk Punisher.
Yeah.
You want some Canadians to make it on a really cheap budget. A couple million loonies and
I want Punisher Warzone. I want people getting ground in fucking glass. Yeah,
sure. Just give me more Warzone.
Yeah. I want to watch somebody get chromed.
Yes, good old chroming. Fan Bing Bing. Just wanted to say. Fan Bing Bing, Chinese actress. Huge in China, breaking out here in America. She was in Iron Man 3, Days of Future Past.
Do you recognize her at all?
Fan Bing Bing. That's her picture.
Oh, okay.
Okay.
Gotcha.
That lady. Fan Bing Bing is missing. No one's seen her for about 3 months. No one's seen from her, heard from her. Here we go. Where are the rumors? Some very interesting rumors, theories about where she could be. This article goes on. There's a few things. Some people are conjecturing that shows money, like tax money, so she's on the run from that. Other people saying because she does owe that money or whatever, they nabbed her already. Some people are saying that because she's been looking at property in California, she's trying to leave the country, so maybe the government's trying to keep her from doing that. Maybe she has left the country. Anything. There's tons of things people are trying to figure out. What happened to Fan Bing Bing?
I mean, either she's alive somewhere or she's dead.
Isn't that pretty crazy? That can happen in China.
Yeah. Yeah, I totally can.
It's been 3 months. 3 damn months. Man, that's wild. Crazy wild stuff. It's crazy wild stuff. Kingsman 3 is happening. Are you excited? Did you ever see the second one?
Nope.
Okay. I'm interested in the fact that Matthew Vaughn is writing and directing it. He's not passing it off a la Guillermo del Toro with Pacific Rim 2. No. He's not just like whatever someone else do it. John Krasinski most likely with A Quiet Place 2. He's going to let someone else direct it. He's like, nope, I'm seeing this one through to the end.
Good for you.
I guess so, right? I guess so. Aquaman. It's coming. Unfortunately.
I mean,
You can't do nothing to stop it.
I'm kind of looking forward to it, Chris.
Are you really? All right.
I'm not like looking forward to it. Like, yeah, Aquaman, but like.
Like those Aqua Bros underwater when they're like.
But it looks so weird, dude. It looks. This movie looks fucking strange as shit.
And it sounds strange too. So apparently, there are moments in the movie where Atlanteans have to vomit. They have to expel water from their lungs as of vomiting in order to breathe air. So I don't remember seeing this in Batman vs Superman or Justice League, but when an Atlantean transfers, that moment they go from the water to land,
they vomit air.
They vomit the water out of their lungs. And apparently they showed us in the movie.
Cool. Now, I mean, it looks like this a weird like underwater sci-fi movie.
It does
like
appear, yeah.
That. Giant scene with fantasy at the end.
Stuff in it,
with dudes riding sharks and like rocket launchers on crabs.
Sharks that appear to roar underwater.
No, exactly. It's like, what the fuck is this? Seriously, it looks like a cartoon that I would watch as a kid.
It does look insane.
You know? So that's why I want to see it.
James Wan makes, in his own way, insane movies. Yeah. I mean, going all the way back to Saw.
Yeah.
It's the Saw guy.
Yeah, no, exactly.
Make it an Aquaman.
It's the Saw guy. Make Aquaman.
But the Saw guy had to tell Aquaman, yo, chill out on the set because he was being way too angry. So this is a quote from James Wan. He says, imagine I'm saying this like a Australian Santa. Because I imagine, because he's from Australia. So I imagine he's like, oh, Jason will always say it like that. But it's a long thing, so I can't keep it up. My improv game is weak today. Jason will always say that I took him out of his comfort zone because that's not what he's known for. There was a few moments when I was directing him, I said, Jason, you're playing this a bit too angry. And he looked at me and say, James, this is what they paid me money to do. Khal Drogo, that's why they paid me. I say, great, that's good for Khal Drogo. We're creating a very different character here, and there will be many moments in the movie where it'll be really tough. But in this moment, I want to see more of that lighthearted goofiness from you that's going to service the movie well. He said he was surprised by how charming and funny Jason Momoa was. And he was like, I want to capture this side of his personality that no one's really used yet in any movie that he's been in or TV show or whatever. So there you go. So Aquaman, you're looking forward, so that's cool.
It seems like the craziest batshit weirdness ever.
It does seem bizarre.
Yeah.
I'll be fine if the movie just has to be good. Not even.
It just has to be watchable.
Yes, just don't bore me.
Exactly.
Don't, oh my god.
Just don't bore me.
One thing I'm worried about.
Make
me care.
Make the time go by.
Make me care.
Make me
somehow
not regret sitting there.
Thank you. Thank you. Scott Snyder, writes for Batman.
Mm-hmm.
Someone asked him about the Joker movie, Joaquin Phoenix's Joker, and about having an origin story.
Mm-hmm.
Here's Scott Snyder's quote. I feel like it shouldn't work. and yet I'm generally crazy excited for it. It seems daring, weird, and dark in a way that could be visionary. In the end, the worst defense with Joker would be playing it safe, boring, so I'm all in for something like this. That's Scott Snyder, who has, you know, doesn't write necessarily safe, boring stuff.
No, he does not.
Yeah.
His
Batman run's really fun.
He got me back into Batman, Chris.
Yeah.
That Scott Snyder run, it was a good couple of years of Batman.
Good stuff. I don't think I read it all. I gotta finish that up.
I mean, I've got it, so.
I know. I got it. Speaking of Batman, speaking of Joker, excuse me. So meanwhile, we also have that Harley Quinn Joker movie that's being made. And apparently the writers, Glenn Ficarra and John Requah, who did Crazy Stupid Love, they're writing and directing this. They wrote into the story a Dr. Phil cameo. Quote, "It is great. The whole thing starts with Harley kidnapping Dr. Phil, played by Dr. Phil, hopefully because her and the Joker are having problems with their relationship." So it's a direction we're going with the Harley Quinn Joker movie.
Dame Judy Dench.
Welcome to Cinema Crisp with Iso. This is a bonus episode. I am your host, Chris Crespo. Bill Cosby went to prison today. James Duty Dench put up for Kevin Spacey today. Stuck up for him for some weird reason. I don't know, strange, right? They worked together back in like 2001. So yeah, they have a relationship, a friendship in a way. But she says, "Are we going to go back throughout history now, and anyone who has misbehaved in any way or has broken the law or has committed some kind of offense, are they always going to be cut out?" She said at a film festival. "Are we going to exclude them from our history? I don't know about any of the conditions of it, but nevertheless, I think he is and was a most wonderful actor and a good friend." Did you notice when I said that part, that line there? She said, "I don't know any of the conditions of it," meaning I don't know what the accusations were.
I don't know what's
were,
going on.
But do we have to excise a person from a movie just because of misbehaviors? Yeah, sure, misbehaviors.
Well, if that was the case, Chris, we would have to completely edit the entire golden age of Hollywood. They were all monsters.
We would have to just have movies that are nothing but empty parks and buildings and rooms, misbehaviors.
Because people are monsters.
We're talking straight up the things he... Oh my god. Speaking of Kevin Spacey, that Venom movie. Speaking of parasites.
Seriously.
Someone asked Tom Hardy about the PG-13 rating.
And?
Obviously, spin doctor here. Movie hasn't come out yet, right? He's not going to be like, "Oh, I'm all pissed off, blah, blah, blah." That'll be next year.
Yeah. He's like, "Yeah, it was garbage.
It was garbage. I can't believe they did that." That's next year. Yeah. Right now, he says, "Is it going to be R-rated? That's the big question. And the answer's been answered, isn't it? It's a PG-13 in the States. But to be fair, the thing can fulcrum into R-rated." He's talking DVD, unrated DVD bullshit. "It can fulcrum into youth or children." What does that mean? I mean, you can make this a goofy kids movie too?
Oh,
that's
God.
Not good.
No.
You can't take Godfather and be like, "Oh yeah, you can also make a cut of this. It's a kids movie." "My littlest ones, they watch Spider-Man and Venom quite comfortably, and Venom toys appear and Lego appear, so it's not like they're scared by him." Side note, his littlest one is 2 years old. "At the same time, there's a lot in that real estate you can actually imbue with a complete sense of gratuitous violence if you really wanted to, and I think you've got the right people for that job. If you want to push it, of course, that's where I'd love to go with it." So,
I was looking, when we first heard about this movie, it was Tom Hardy, R-rated Venom horror.
Low-rated R Venom horror.
Yeah, and it was like, yes, thank you.
Sounds good. Good plan. No Spider-Man, we'll work around it.
And now it's
PG-13. Now we can do a movie with Spider-Man in it down the road. We can't make an R-rated Venom if we want to throw in a PG-13 Spider-Man. There you go.
It's going to be awful.
Last story, Matt Reeves wrote, I don't know if he wrote, he probably did screenwriting, at least co-wrote, but he did Let Me In, the surprisingly decent American version of Let the Right One In. Don't want to say a remake because it's not. Those movies were developed concurrently. It just took longer for the American one to get made. He did the surprisingly great Planet of the Apes trilogy.
Yeah.
No, not trilogy, excuse me. He did the better two sequels. The first one was fine. The James Franco one was good. Set a good foundation.
But the two after were
they got better and better. The one with Jason Clarke in the woods was great, and then the one in the snow was like, oh my god, this is some dark, crazy shit.
I mean, besides the Bad Boy, what, Stupid Monkey?
You know, it needed lightness somewhere. I understand why.
Was like a stamp. It was like comic relief.
Yeah. Yes. Very obvious. Token comedy. Thank God I can breathe for a second. This movie's so... Caesar, relax, buddy.
No.
Humans. So Matt Reeves, I expect some of that lightness to come to the Batman as he's doing the Batman. And apparently, this is a rumor, but a pretty solid rumor. He turned in his first draft of his script, and Warner Brothers is gaga for it. They love it. And they are fast-tracking the movie for a production start of next summer. So expect the Batman summer 2020. Matt Reeves, the Batman summer 2020. So since they're looking to start production next summer, they're writing the script now. They'll cast Batman by the end of the year. Nah. February. February 2019. Expect an announcement as to who Batman will be. There you go. Who do you think it'll be, Drew?
Who cares?
Put my money on Zac Efron. His name hasn't even been mentioned in any way whatsoever. But that's my money.
I will not watch that movie.
Take this. It's a Zac Efron Funko Pop. Take it with you. Right? No! Now it has a knife in its head.
Stab. I mean... I don't know who'd be a good Batman.
Jake Gyllenhaal was talking about it, but he's going to be the villain in the next Spider-Man movie anyway.
I was about to say, I think Jake Gyllenhaal would be a fun Joker.
It would be a fun Joker. Yeah. Well, come on. We got enough Jokers.
Well, no. I mean, I feel
We are lousy with Jokers right now.
No, I know. I feel you 100%. But, like, the crazy manic Gyllenhaal would make for...
I would see him more of a role that would require more of a focus. Like, he's a singular focus kind of guy. Joker feels more like anarchy. Anything can happen. No. Jake Gyllenhaal's got to play a guy that's like, no, this is what's going to happen. I'm crazy for it, too, you know, because he's so, like, that's what I don't know. But he could do it. He's Jake Gyllenhaal. You know what I mean. Is it Gyllenhaal? Is it Gyllenhaal?
I don't know.
Is it Gyllenhaal? Is it Matt Gyllenhaal? Are all the G's soft? All of them?
I don't know. Yake Gyllenhaal?
Yake? Oh, it's definitely Yake. No, we've been saying that wrong for years. It is Chrissy Teigen, not Chrissy Teigen.
Okay.
It's Chrissy Teigen. So stop saying it wrong, Drew.
Don't care.
You keep talking about her and John Legend. And it's John Legend. So get that right as well. And who's the other one? Who's the other one that gets said wrong all the time? I just saw it and I was like, oh, okay. Damn it. H.R. Geiger. He's dead. Long dead. He slipped and hit his head.
Sure he did.
I think he did. Yeah.
That doesn't make sense. He was crazy like that. He was an old man.
Not necessarily that old. He was sick. He wasn't that old. He was in the 60s, maybe.
Yeah, in it.
Orville Redenbacher was old and had a heart attack in the shower and then slipped and broke his neck. That's how he died. So think about that next time you take a bite of some delicious microwavable popcorn.
I don't eat microwavable popcorn.
I was talking more about the general listeners as opposed to you.
You're staring me in the eyes.
Who else am I talking? I'm talking, and we're in a room, ladies and gentlemen. That's the end of the episode. Thank you, Drew.
You're welcome.
Thank you everyone for downloading and listening. Share the show with other people because this isn't just for you. It's for everyone. Stop hiding it. Why are you being so...
Why are we so selfish?
Yes, thank you. That's the word. That's exactly the word I was looking for. Stop being so selfish and share the fucking show.
Don't forget to eat shellfish.
And eat shellfish. Unless you're allergic, in which case, eat peanuts.
A PFT Media production.